what we saw in the last few months, obviously this pandemic has thrown everything, not necessarily out the window, the cycles are there, but what, we've seen is, especially last year, a lot of the home loans that were provided for programs for people that were homeowners that needed help, maybe they want to make sure they weren't defaulting, but maybe their renters couldn't pay their rent, or they're just, they lost their job, whatever the issue might be. There was programs in place, depending on what state you're in and city, that was helping them to file for forbearance. So they can basically apply the amount that's going to be owed at the end of the loan. And most of that did end by the end of the year. And then on top of that, a lot of investors, sometimes people think, oh, real estate investors, everybody is, you know, has multiple units. Sometimes real estate investors are the regular people that just start with their first property that they might be renting in their own. And then they bought a rental property and they're hoping their renters keep up with their payments, right? Because that's how they pay the mortgage.
Right.
The difficulty that we're seeing, and there's just so much stat and research on it, depending on what city you're on, but a lot of renters did have to declare some type of hardship because they lost some income, they were working from home or whatever the situation might be. And people got sick. Let's just be honest. We've had many podcast episodes about this, right?
Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by me, Natalie Torres-Adad, an international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker, and investor, along with Vera Egli, an investor, sales, and marketing pro, and multi-language podcaster. We will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy in multiple languages.
Hello and welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. It's Vera Egli here with Miss Natalie Torres-Haddad. Hi, Natalie.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah, we're coming to you. If you listened to the last episode, you know we were going to talk about foreclosures in this episode. And we just think it's something very important to touch upon now that we are in the beginning of the year because yeah, it's happening again. Natalie, maybe you can shine some light on this. I think you have much more knowledge and expertise in this area. So
yeah,
let us know what we need to do to keep an eye out.
You know what? It's such a difficult subject or difficult depending on what side you are. So I want to talk a little bit briefly on whether you are the investor, the real estate investor that wants to invest in possible foreclosures, or also a little bit information on if you are the homeowner itself that might be facing foreclosure, because obviously it affects your market. And the funny thing is when we were talking about having this conversation is not every market is the same, right? They're not all created equal. We know both you and I live in a very expensive state, Los Angeles being one of the highest places to live in. And what we see is certain markets have great appreciation, meaning they have great value. And then all of a sudden everyone's buying in that area. So it's just even harder to get a home, right? So, and we all know this because if you live in maybe the Midwest or certain other states where it's really easy or affordable to buy a home, you don't necessarily see the markets fluctuate that much. So obviously today's podcast is just informational. I want you to seek out professional help. We're just giving you merely entertainment, but based on the expertise and things that we've gone through. Most of my investments have always been foreclosure or pre-foreclosure, which it's a whole nother topic. We could talk about short sales, pre-foreclosures, REOs, which is real estate owned as well. So there's different stages that happens, but here's the key. So someone that's listening to this and you're like, I want to invest in real estate in 2022. Is this the time? I'm going to say yes. And a lot of my mentors and people I work with are getting ready to purchase something by the end of the year. I know it's still January or beginning of the year. And what we're looking at is what has happened in the last few quarters. And sometimes people are in denial. I don't think we're going to see the craziness that we saw back in 2008. For those of you who know what the market crash, how it really affected what over 9 million homes that were foreclosed, which is insane to think about. There's things that have been in place since then, right? So lenders have gotten a lot more stricter on how they're providing loans out. But it doesn't mean that there aren't risky loans that were given. There aren't people that had no business owning a home, getting a loan. There's a lot of people that put no money down or put 3% down. And so the reason why they tend to do that is because they don't have enough money for the down payment. And on top of that, maybe they think, oh, it's going to increase in valuation and that's going to build some equity. And then eventually they'll be able to refinance to get rid of that PMI, which is a private mortgage insurance, because that's something you get stuck on. You get stuck onto your mortgage if you're basically not putting anything more than 20% down on your deposit. So what we saw in the last few months, obviously this pandemic has thrown everything, not necessarily out the window, the cycles are there, but what we've seen is, especially last year, a lot of the home loans that were provided for programs for people that were homeowners that needed help, maybe they want to make sure they weren't defaulting, but maybe their renters couldn't pay their rent, or they lost their job, whatever the issue might be. There was programs in place depending on what state you're in and city that was helping them to file for forbearance. So they can basically apply the amount that's going to be owed at the end of the loan. And most of that did end by the end of the year. And then on top of that, a lot of investors, sometimes people think, oh, real estate investors, everybody is, you know, has multiple units. Sometimes real estate investors are the regular people that just start with their first property that they might be renting in their own. And then they bought a rental property and they're hoping their renters keep up with their payments, right? Because that's how they pay the mortgage.
Right.
The difficulty that we're seeing, and there's just so much stat and research on it, depending on what city you're on, but a lot of renters did have to declare some type of hardship because they lost some income, they were working from home or whatever the situation might be. And people got sick. Let's just be honest. We've had many podcast episodes about this, right? And so what we're now seeing is what happens in April and November. Property taxes, right? Property taxes, right? Some people have it already included in their mortgage payments, so they're paying monthly. Many people also decide to pay, which we should do a total podcast on the benefits of not having it applied to your mortgage and other ways to pay off your mortgage quicker, but that's a whole nother conversation. But what happens, a lot of people decide, oh, I'm going to pay it as a separate payment on those 2 months. In December is when we start to see the real bump in back taxes because they couldn't afford to pay their property taxes. And the holidays just happened. So guess what? They probably spent any money they did have for that. And so we start to see a fluctuation of homes that become defaulted. And when we talk about foreclosures, one of the biggest things is you have to find out where they are in the foreclosure process, meaning have they actually gotten the letter that it's being foreclosed on, or is it maybe they're just a month behind, or they're just trying to figure out what they need to do next. A lot of homeowners sometimes find themselves in a place, and real estate investors, that they can't sell right away because think about it. If you've never purchased a property, if you're listening to this, you will have to pay for closing costs, maybe some fixes, whatever it might be. If you're selling that home, you have all these commissions you have to pay. There's certain things that you need to put in place. And sometimes you have to fix up the home before you sell it because maybe there's something wrong with it that the person's not going to want to buy it free and clear. I know in California and certain places like LA, you could buy a really rundown place and, you know, haggle with the price. But the truth is, it does take some time. It's not necessarily you'll have an escrow within 30 days, depending on your market. And I know, Vera, you've invested out of state and international as well, right? So,
right.
For you, have you
it's
seen?
Slow, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's slow go, like especially internationally when you're not living there and you're here. So you have to rely. It's a little bit scary too because you have to rely on middlemen. So, but it functions a little bit differently. However, here, for example, we just happened to be looking around. Again, I live up in Lake Arrowhead, and we were like, let's see what the inventory is looking like now. Because of COVID, it also has changed the nature of where people want to live. And I purposely use the word nature because suddenly everyone's like, get me out of the city and get me into nature to, you know, people living farther away from me. And so the prices up there have skyrocketed and there's really no inclination that it's going down anytime soon. It will obviously correct itself at some point. And that is what's a little bit, as you said, it gets me a little concerned because a lot of people I know went into purchasing things and it's a seller's market right now. And I do wonder whether or not, you know, even $100 to $150 more makes a big difference if you suddenly lose your job. If one of you is not working, If you know you did overspend during the holidays and you do have property taxes not included, I don't know. I think that those are things that you pointed out that we need to think about big picture whenever we are going to invest or even just buy a home for ourselves. Because we get so excited that we're going to get something, we're going to live there, and finally we can do this. But sometimes we only look at the short term. Yes. And that's what kind of bites us in the butt sometimes.
And that's so clear on. It's like we saw the California exodus or the West Coast, right? Everybody was going to Texas, Montana, and Utah, Arizona. And I'm mentioning some of these states, mm-hmm. right? Because you've had people that were originally from California and they go to these states and guess what? The property are much cheaper. They're still at a good price, but they managed to skyrocket in those neighborhoods. So if you're looking at your current market, that's the difficult part where you're like, well, how's the market going to be after, right? And you just mentioned people. Yeah, it's true. They go to nature. And the difficult thing is when we see something like that, is that people are just evaluating. Obviously, when you look at comps, what they call comparables, right? The comparables and what other properties look like in your neighborhood. So when you're purchasing a place, the realtor, whoever you're working with, you are looking at how the other houses in your neighborhood have been, right? So how much they sold. Mm-hmm. And the truth is a lot of these, there's actually I always look at different data analysis on just kind of like what is up to date with which, you know, which states are the ones that we're going to see with the highest foreclosure rate based on what comes out, and everything's public. So a lot of people don't always know that you could just look up in a city. If there's a home that you see that's abandoned, that's another sign that, hey, something happened there. And most right. likely foreclosed on, banked on. And one of the biggest things that we saw that in the last quarter that we saw California, Texas, Florida, New York, and Illinois is where we see the jump in foreclosures. And the Florida stuck out to me, obviously Texas as well, and New York, because people were trying to buy something. And if you bought something within the last year or two during the pandemic, chances are you probably pay top dollar. So the markets do correct themselves.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in the Midwest, I always think about the way I look at LA, let's say New York, like the East Coast, West Coast, Massachusetts, another one's also has a lot of difficulty right now with their foreclosures. But when you look at those, the East and the West Coast, it's like this high peak, and then the valuation can increase. You could see it well into the double digits. But when it comes to the Midwest, it almost feels like a nice little wave. It's not a big, huge wave. It's not a tsunami or anything like this, but the market is pretty steady. So if you're expecting it to like quadruple in, you know, a year, chances are you paid what you're going to get and what the market's going to stay. So a lot of real estate investors, especially newbies, find themselves in a saturated market where they're like, oh no, I bought when everyone else is buying. I can't really build any more equity because the valuation is not going to go up. And then when foreclosures start to happen, what does that do? It lowers the market value in your area. So the thing in about general, foreclosures yeah. is it's banked own basically. And most people are willing to pay cash, or real estate investors can get at a really good deal. I mean, depending if you're going to auction, all these things. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I think sometimes people tend to overlook. And the reason I started buying foreclosure was because that's what I knew I could afford. And I had some cash on hand that was going to help with that purchase. And it was great, because the truth is, when you as a real estate investor, for us, it's like, well, you're automatically buying a property. If you've seen it, hopefully, I know actually that's happened to me a few times, sight unseen. You just kind of go based on the comps and looking at all the property information. But what can happen is, well, you buy a great property, and the great thing is it comes with equity now because you bought it below everyone else's. And I always tell people my very first real estate investment was not my best experience, but it was such a learning experience. My second one was an incredible experience because I bought it well below 60%. Than everyone in the whole condo complex. Wow. So this is well in Long Beach. And so my neighbors, or my investors that were neighbors hated me, obviously, because they're like, you just, you know, basically plummeted our market, not me alone. But the truth is, they were like, man, I wish I would have done what you did, because if they would have waited a year, they would have gotten the deal I did. And granted, that's one of the things that we see people doing. And if you're on the homeowner side, now this is something that is really scary. And I think that's why you and I wanted to talk about this on the podcast, right? is if you're on that side too, of maybe you are the homeowner or your renters are no longer paying, seek help before it's too late, right? And don't necessarily think I'm just gonna sell it off the bat, because we just mentioned that can take time. And if they're not pre-qualified, if they don't have the loan clears through, if they're not paying cash, those kind of things you have to think about. What is it that you can do beforehand? Can you, you know, can you call your lender and file a forbearance? Is it too late for that? Is there certain programs that are available to you? But also, if you have renters too, have they filed for forbearance? Is there a way that you can get some kind of supplemental help? Every state's very different. A lot of cities even have certain programs that are helpful in that state, in their market. And so sometimes I think people tend to think it's just me and I can't tell anyone. I completely get it. It could be an embarrassing, frustrating and overwhelming experience, but there is help. And I actually work with a lot of investors that's what they do, is they help people to get out of foreclosure. You know, either selling their property off bat or trying to figure out a different program for them. But I think it's really important. As we see 2022, we have some opportunities to buy, and there's opportunities to invest in areas that maybe were overlooked, or maybe you thought, oh, I wanted to buy one there, but everybody just went in and swooped in and, you know, overpriced markets. And those states, I think, is crucial. And you and I have talked about this. You remember the movie, The Big Short, right?
Yeah.
and do you remember the scene in Florida when they go see abandoned houses, right? I don't think it's going to get that serious, as I'm hoping it won't, this coming market, but we will see a lot of abandoned homes. We're already starting to see some of that. We start seeing boarded up places. Commercial real estate is it's very different compared to your residential. But when we see homes that are being vandalized or, you know, basically not well kept, that's a sign that, hey, something's happening with that, you know, with the homeowners or the renters or whatever it might be. So that's something that people can actually start looking at. And I always say, look at the signs, right? So literally, if there's signs on your street that say for sale by owner, it's a key indication that something's happening in the market. And if you see too many for sales on that street, ask yourself why. Is it just because they're trying to cash out because it's a great time to sell? Like, I mean, we talk about it all the time. Like, should we sell? Because our property's worth double than what we prayed for,
right?
You know, a few years ago. But understand that maybe, oh, they lost their job, or maybe somebody got sick or someone passed away and they have to, you know, take care of all these things.
Absolutely. That's actually interesting, because we're up where I live. There's a lot of retirees, right? So what they did, because the market did go up, they got tons of equity on their home. I mean, I'm talking 50%. And so they immediately sold it. They already didn't owe anything because they've been living up there for like 30 years, and they hightailed it to the Midwest.
Yep.
So they go somewhere to another state with California money. It depends. The signs can mean, you know, I happen to be in a retiree community, so they were just doing what's best for them for the long-term retirement, right?
Yeah.
Not because they were foreclosing. So, but all of those homes sold very quickly because, again, COVID just impacted my community in a very specific way.
Yes.
So it's just interesting to see both sides of the coin, where you'll see people, who knows now what's going to happen to those houses that are being technically abandoned because no one wants to live in those crowded areas.
Right.
You know, how long will it take before people are comfortable to get in there?
Yeah. And it's looking at what is, even in like certain cities, like we have major corporations headquarters that were here in California that moved to Texas, that moved to the Midwest, right? Yeah. Where state taxes are much less than here. And so that's also an indication that maybe your neighborhood might be dealing with some of those financial setbacks, because now it's like, okay, well, now they're going to need people to move into these places or rent them out. And for LA, it's a very different market compared to most states or most cities, I would say, because rent does continue to increase, especially because there's less houses. So that's something to think about. We've been talking about 2022 goals, and I know a lot of people mentioned they want to invest. And so think about what neighborhood you want to invest in, what type of property you're looking to invest in, and if it's going to be a foreclosure, do you have enough cash in hand to do so? Or are you partnering up with someone else to come up with that money, right? Because that's one thing you want. It's going to be a little bit of a bidding war again, too. So just because you think you're the only one that's thought of this, guess what? Other people are thinking about it as well. And they can come in and swoop. And true story, before we end, I'll share this one. I remember around December, no, it was at the end of November, found a HUD property. It was out of state and submitted my offer, and it was going to be cash. So, and granted, Midwest, what we put down for Midwest home is like down payment here in Los Angeles. And they rejected it. They're like, you know what? No, we had other offers, and some of them were going to go to the traditional lending route. And so about less than 30 days passed, and something happened to, there was like four people ahead of us that were going to get traditional lending. And for some reason they didn't work. And then within the week before the 30 days was over, they came back to us and say, did you still want the property? If so, we need to close within the week. And of course we swooped in, and it was the same offer. So sometimes don't feel like, well, it has to happen now, but it might. It's just having, because I had cash and they knew we can close literally in a few days, that made the difference. So, you know, sometimes thinking ahead and saying, you know, can I save $100,000? Would that, you know, help me out on a property somewhere else out of state, can go a long way. So some thoughts, and I think you and I will have to definitely chat more on this.
Yes.
But just wanted people.
I think it's important. Yeah. I think everything you just touched upon is so critical. And even just the, we'll have to do another episode also on what it means to save for the deposit, but still thinking long-term, can I afford the overall?
Oh, right? Yeah.
Because you might be able to get into the loan, but can you pay it off in the long-term?
So can you deal with the fixes, with the hassle? And if you're renting it out, can you deal with all the upkeeps? And we're going to have a few people, actually a few guests that are not just lenders themselves, but they help foreclosure as well. And so they'll be able to share their expertise. So make sure you stay tuned for the next episode, but we're looking forward to answering any questions too. I'm sure many of you have so many, because literally we just talked about this in less than 20 minutes when we can talk for days on this. So stay tuned to the next one. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, and please make sure to subscribe and leave your comments and reviews. To learn more about the podcast, check out the website and Instagram, Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, and watch interviews on YouTube and IGTV. To become a sponsor or hire us for your next workshop or speaking engagement, please visit financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.